Well, today I want you to help me honor. We're so glad and so honored today to have our guest with us. And before I introduce him to the stage, I also want to make sure I honor Melody today. Good to have you here this morning. She's going to be leading worship now. She's got two of our members here, and I think three more are coming down. Her husband's coming down, and he's going to be playing drums tonight and bringing some other of the band members. And they're going to be coming in and practicing this afternoon. And she snuck away. She usually is on the worship team, but she got asked off today so she could come and sneak away and be in this service before she leads worship tonight. So one more time, can you honor this team today? We're glad to have you guys. We count it an honor to have you guys here with us. And today we are so thrilled to have back our friend of the house. Now, I want to tell you a secret, because Pastor Ontario, his wife called him last time he was here, and we were on the phone. We were actually, I think, sitting down at a restaurant table, and he was kind of talking to her to the side, and Ben and TJ and I were talking, and I heard him say something out of the just kind of whispering to her, and he said, "Honey," he goes, "this church of destiny," he goes, "if we ever start a church, this is the way I want to start a church." That's what he told her. Now, I'd already given him the offering, so he wasn't trying to butter me up, okay? But it really meant something to him that you said that today, and we are so honored. You know, he has a chance to be on staff at Potter's House. He was working there as a young adult pastor under Bishop T.D. Jakes. They run 15,000 to 20,000 every weekend there, and he's around some big places. He travels the world, but he also said, "You know what, God, wherever you send me, I want to go and impart to churches, small, medium, large, just to make a difference." He just comes and ministers, and we are so honored today to have him here at Destiny in Joplin. Can you please honor the man of God he sent today? Come on, let's give him a welcome this morning, Pastor.
Destiny, make some noise for Jesus. Sound man, if you love me, give me some more push on this microphone, please. Can you just give me just a little more push? Yeah. Yeah, that sounds real good. You gotta give me some enough fuel so I can make it to tonight. How many of you guys are coming back tonight? I want to challenge you. Amen. If you haven't made up your mind to come back tonight, I want to challenge you to make sure you come back. Bring somebody with you. Last time we did this when I was here, this house was packed on the Sunday night. I want to see just as many people here tonight, because God's got something to say. I'm going to speak to some David and some Davids and some Davinas. Hello, somebody. Hey, Davina. Yeah, we're going to have fun tonight, so make sure you bring somebody with you. Can we give honor where honor is due for your senior pastors? Can we just go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Come on now. Can we just lose our minds real quick? Come on. For Pastor Gene and Melanie. Come on, y'all can do better than that. My brother from another mother, amen, that I come down to Joplin to steal stuff from, that I will definitely use when God releases me to do whatever it is he's going to do much, much, much later from now. Glory to God. I enjoy traveling the world and speaking into the life of my generation, and I'm excited to be here. I feel like it's God's order for me to be here, and I'm excited about what God is going to do in this service this morning. Anybody else excited? Amen. I bring greetings all the way from Dallas, Texas. One another than Bishop T.D. Jakes is my senior pastor and my oversight. Young leader, never go out uncovered. Hello, somebody. You need a covering. Hello. Hey, it's not good enough for you to be good at what you do. You need a covering for what you do. So I'm covered. I'm under the cover of a great man of God there. If you have never heard Bishop T.D. Jakes preach a sermon, you should go on YouTube and check it out. You won't be allowed to go to heaven without hearing Bishop Jakes preach. One sermon before you go to heaven, you got to hear Bishop preach. Amen. So go check him out on YouTube if you've never heard of him. He's just a big sweaty man that just, he just loses his mind for Jesus, and just an amazing guy. And it's actually his birthday today. So if you follow him on social media, make sure you say happy birthday on his profile. I'm sure he would appreciate it. He loves the love and all of that good stuff. And I also send greetings from my family. The Greens are in Dallas, Texas right now, and they're not here with me. They're at home. I think I got a picture of my family. There they go. Yeah. Yeah, got a beautiful. Y'all better clap for my family. I will put this microphone down and walk smooth out. My boo up there, Crystal, married 17 years, mother of all my children. We had him at the General Hospital. We're going to spend the rest of the days of our lives together. And My son, Jalen, he's the oldest. My daughter, Jaden, and my young businessman for Jesus, a full gospel businessman, David's always making deals, trying to make money, and hit daddy for new tennis shoes all the time. Y'all pray for me. Pray for my pockets. Amen. God is still yet working on him and trying to get him ready. So it's all good. Are y'all ready for the word of God this day? One last shameless plug. I have a real passion to raise up next gen leaders. Something I've been doing for the last 2 years called The Platoon. It is a coaching network program that is done all online and over the phone, where if you feel called to next gen leadership, I want to coach you. I want to be a coach in your life, and I want to go for 12 months with you and really help you get prepared better for what God has called you to do. It has impartation, information, revelation. It has just about everything you can think. There's monthly coaching calls with people from all around the world that are on these coaching calls. I've had two couples now get married. Hello, somebody. I'm just saying. The Holy Spirit is in that thing. And if you're interested in it, you need a coach in your life for next-gen leadership or ministry of any kind, if you feel nudged in that direction, go check my website out. It's on OntarioGreen.com. You can go take a look. It's called The Platoon. I'd love to be your coach if you need one. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's get to the assignment. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter number 37. God gave me a change in my spirit after the first service, and he had me get something out specifically for this 11 o'clock service. That's how special God thinks you are. Amen. Genesis 37. Are we ready? Okay, first and foremost, okay, we're going to do this, all right, because I'm going to need a little help today, okay? I'm from Jahito, that's ghetto in the Greek, okay? And so I get a little nervous when the room gets too quiet, so I'm going to break you into sections. You're going to be my amen section, so when I point to you, you're going to say amen, all right? You ready? No, come on now. Come on now, you got to say it like you got the Holy Ghost. Come on. All right. Let me see. All right. You're going to be my praise the Lord section. All right. My praise the Lord. You're going to say praise the Lord. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, y'all got the Holy Ghost. Okay. This is going to be my preach black man section. I can say it. I'm black. Okay. Ready?
Preach black man.
Oh, come on. Y'all got to say it. Come on.
Preach black man.
I'll see you. Let me. Father, we anoint this section in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right.
Preach, black man.
All right, I shall then. Genesis chapter 37, I felt my help right there. And it reads, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flocks with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. Big words there. His father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age and also made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than they loved his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaves arose and stood up upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down before my sheaves. And verse 8 says, and his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. See, it's not good enough that they hate you just because you are who you are. You thought that they were hating you because you was cute. You thought they was hating you because you thought you was something. They hate you because they see the favor of God that's upon your life. It's not you that they hate. They hate the favor that you walk in. They hate the provision that God's always making away. They hate your social media posts because you always look like you're doing so good. Anyway, That's for somebody. One person caught it. I'm glad that you caught it for your spirit. Okay. So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9 says, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed yet another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down before me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him, saying to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come down, come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Wise father. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I like to add old with new to make something special always. So we're just going to add some New Testament in there as well. This is a very familiar verse of scripture. You guys all know it. It says Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. My assignment today is to preach to you from the subject Detours to Destiny. Detours to Destiny. I need you to touch three people around you and say, sometimes. See, some of y'all are not going to be blessed because you just don't even know how to obey the preacher. Touch somebody next to you. Say, sometimes your destiny requires detours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you're about to do in this place. Stand up big, Holy Ghost. Speak through this vessel. I pray that you would hide me behind this pulpit. I know I'm a big man, but I pray that you would be bigger, that you would be high, that you would be lifted up. And God, I thank you for your word that declares that when you are lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. I pray that every man, woman, boy, and child in this room would be drawn unto you. And I thank you, Father, that by the end of this message, Father, we are convinced, thoroughly convinced, that the detours that we have in our lives are for our destiny, and they have been ordained by you. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Thank you so much. That was so good. Thank you. Thank you. You made my reading so anointed. We appreciate it. Y'all make some noise for the keyboard player. It's interesting because I think the most important thing that any of us could ever learn while we're in the earth is not... It has nothing to do with degrees or what school you might have matriculated from. It has nothing to do with what social class that you might have grew up in. It has nothing to do with necessarily who your mom or your father was. It has nothing to do with status or any of those things at all. The most important thing that any of us could learn while we're here in this earth, I believe, is the reason why which you have been created. Purpose is probably the most important thing that any of us could ever learn in life. When we learn purpose, purpose does something to you. Purpose focuses you in a way that other stuff doesn't focus you in. You can have more degrees than a thermometer, but if you don't have something to point that degree at, then you really don't have what you need inside to do what's necessary. See, purpose will wake you up in the middle of the night and make you get up and start studying and make you cry. Purpose will do stuff to you on the inside that having a large amount of money will never do for you. Purpose has a way of igniting something on the inside that is only God given, because at the end of the day, it is all our assignments to figure out why God created us. Purpose is by far the most important thing that any single person in this room could learn. And here we are, we got a dude named Joseph. Now, when I get to heaven, me and Joseph are going to be real close, okay? Me and Joseph have similar stories, okay? My mama was a drug addict and a prostitute from the time I was born until I was about 13 years old. She got saved in prison here in Bishop Jakes, preached via satellite, and she gets out of prison and she drags me to the church, and I get saved in the same church. I went to 16 different elementary schools, 6 different middle schools, 3 different high schools before God settled me down. I learned how to read my second ninth grade year in high school because I had to repeat the ninth grade, but I got saved in between my first ninth grade year and my second ninth grade year, and I did Hooked on Phonics. Hooked on Phonics worked for me. So
when I get to heaven, me and JoJo, we're going to have mansions next to each other, because me and JoJo have both been through some tough things young in our lives. Joseph is young and he is growing and he is learning, but yet he is immature because he starts to talk about what God has placed inside of him to people who didn't necessarily like him a whole bunch.
It's good. It's good. See,
you got to be careful, boo, who you share your dreams to. Write that down if you write something. Be careful, boo. B-O-O. Who you share your dreams to. Because you could share your dreams with the wrong person and your dreams can become nightmares. Because everyone is not made to be involved in what God is trying to do in your life. Neither will they understand it, or neither will they value it sometimes. So you have to be very careful with who you share what God is doing in your life. Sometimes you got to be wise and just learn how to sit on it and be quiet and pray. Listen, I'm going to go old school on you. Oh, the old school people, the old saints say, just pray on it a little while. Just sit and pray, baby. Keep it in your spirit. Just keep it on the inside and pray and just sing over it and allow God to do what he's going to do. Let him grow it a little bit before you start running your mouth, because sometimes you start saying things and you'll put stuff in the atmosphere. And check this out. Not only do people who don't like you will hear it, also the enemy hears it. You see, we have an enemy here in this earth that is not seen by the physical eye, because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against spiritual high forces and things that are over the top of us, principalities and things of that nature. So there is this enemy that lives here in the earth realm that if you say it, then he heard it. When you do it, he sees it. And until you open your mouth, he doesn't know what God is doing inside of you. So make sure you take your time before you start releasing what's in your spirit out of your mouth, so you give yourself time to grow in what God wants to do, so the enemy doesn't try to abort your mission prematurely. See, y'all don't want to hear me. It's all right. I got my own amens. I came equipped and ready to use them. But I need you to understand that purpose is so important as it relates to what God has called us to. And Joseph finds himself in this unbelievable predicament in the fact that his brothers are upset with him and they start hating on him. And if you keep reading down in Genesis 37 all the way through, you find that his brothers do some unbelievable things to him because of his dreams and because of his words. They throw him into a pit, okay? Because let me say this. When you learn purpose, please believe me. Hear me when I say this. When you learn purpose, the next thing that's coming is the test from the enemy. Because you got to understand that this is a spiritual battle that we're in every day. And when the enemy sees that he's losing his grip on your life, because when you learn spiritual purpose, he loses his grip. And when his grip is starting to be loosened because you're learning your purpose, he turns up the heat. He brings in that stuff. You know, he gonna bring that dude that you can't say no to. Hello, somebody. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting right now. He gonna have that girl DM you that you just can't say no to. Hello, somebody. He gonna start doing stuff to mess with you because he wants to pull you back into where you were so that you can't get to where you're going. So it wasn't good. You didn't do nothing wrong. You did something right. And because you awaken righteousness inside of you, the enemy has declared war on your soul. And now he's after you. Now he's coming after you. Now he's sending all kind of stuff your way. And sometimes, pit just happens. For no particular reason. Some of y'all catch that in the car. Wait a minute. I just said pit, that's all. Sometimes pit just happens. There's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes pit situations happen and you didn't do anything to deserve it. You were doing something right. And the enemy will try and push you into a pit Because what happens when you go into a pit, this is my next point, you learn purpose, and then the enemy finds a way to push you into a pit situation. And this is the interesting part about it. See, you can look at it in two different ways. You can see it as the enemy has defeated you and pushed you down and made you and put you in a state of mind of being defeated. Or you can see it as a blessing from the Lord to be isolated away from other people, because sometimes God can get your attention because of all the turbulence you've got brewing around you. You got too many voices and people. You got too many social media posts and dings on your phone and notifications going on. You got all kind of things going on. And I've learned that when God wants to get my attention, he will often isolate me from the crowd so that he can say something in my spirit that I can actually hear and receive, because sometimes I've got too much stuff going on around me in order to hear his voice. So check it. God will isolate you. He will relevate you. He will reveal information to you. So he will isolate you. He will relevate you. So he will show you hidden information, things that you need to know. Then after that, he will elevate you. So you got to go through a state where you get isolated and pulled away sometimes so that you can hear his voice. Because check this out. I love the fact that Joseph was pushed into a pit where no man could help him. Because the purpose that God placed inside of you, this is what you got to understand. It is supernatural. In order for it to be fulfilled, God has to do it. And if God is going to do it, he has to know that he can trust that you will hear his voice and do what he tells you to do. So now you're in a situation where the only thing that can save you is his voice. Don't believe me? He looked forward and there was dirt. He looked beneath him and there was well. He looked on the sides of him and there were just walls. And the only place that he could look when he was in this position was not round. He couldn't look sideways. He couldn't look below him. He couldn't look underneath him. The only way he could look for help was up. Oh, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Because God will isolate you. He will reveal hidden information about you to you. Then when you get the information that he wants you to receive, then he elevates you. So don't cry about being pushed into a pit. Oh, this is good too. Hold on. I just saw something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Before they pushed him into a pit, they stripped him of his jacket. Okay? Now, let me just talk a little about this. This jacket is called, when you look it up, it's called a long-armed garment. Okay? Now, when you look up the times and when this existed, only people who were chosen to be the tribe leaders wore long-armed garments. Yes. So his dad wanted to make sure that you know that I have chose you to be the next leader of this group, of your family. Now, this broke the order because the oldest brothers were supposed to be the ones that were going to get what was next. The oldest ones, the Reubens, the Simeons, the other brothers were supposed to be the ones that were supposed to be in a line. But God did something different with Joseph. He took the youngest and he made him first. He'll take the least of us and do the most. Come on, I can't hear nobody in here talking back to me. He will do the most unlikely things with the most unthought about people. He will do something with the people you counted out. So be careful who you count out, boo. God could be wanting to use them. So here Joseph is. He's stripped of his jacket. Now the jacket is an outward expression of what he's called to do long term. And so they strip him of the jacket before they throw him into the pit. You got to see this. You got to see it. Hold up. They strip him of the jacket and they push him into the pit. Now, they put him in the pit because they thought that it would destroy the destiny that God placed on the inside. They stripped him of his jacket because they knew that if they took the jacket, then maybe, just maybe, he would forget about what God said to him. Oh, but I'm so grateful to God that he gave him a dream on the inside. That no matter what the enemy tried to strip from the outside, he could not take what was on the inside. And God gave him two dreams. So he wanted to make sure that he understood that no matter what jacket you wear, no matter what position you stand in, no matter what well you get pushed into, my destiny lives not on the outside, but on the inside. Touch your neighbor and say, it's on the inside. It's on the... I feel like preaching. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I need to save this voice, but I need to make sure you understand that God has you in transition. That what's going on in your life is a process that God has you in. So now that he understands some things, he can come out of the pit. But he comes out of the pit, and let me say this. This is Joseph's leadership roadmap. Okay? This is the model that God used to raise Joseph for the purpose by which he was called to. Okay? So I need you to track with me here and follow along. So if you're taking notes, we're going to write down 5 P's. The first P is purpose. He learned his purpose. The second P is pit. He was pushed into a pit. The third P is Potiphar's house. See, because once you've learned a little bit, God has to test the information that you've been taught by putting you in Potiphar's house. See, I never get amens when I talk about Potiphar's house. I'm used to the crowd going quiet when I talk about Potiphar's house, because this is a season of servanthood. This is a season where when God tests what he placed inside of you to see if you're going to do it in his timing and his will, or do you want to do it the way that you decide that you want it done? Are you willing to wait and sit on what I placed inside of you? Because you know, sometimes God can anoint you for something you'll do much later. David, I anoint you to be king over all of Israel, but you're finna go back out there and mess with them sheep. Okay? Bah. Going back out there, homie, with your anointed self. Amen. Let the Lord use you. Some of us get it confused. Some of us think that anointing means appointing. But anointing does not always mean appointing. Anointing means that you got something that God has confirmed. But you might need to sit on it a little bit so you can grow in it, so that God can trust you to flow in it. So here Joseph is, sold into slavery. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt coming out of the pit and his brothers were there? Hey, Simon, man, y'all play too much, man. Y'all play. Man, Reuben, you always got jokes, man. You always got jokes, man. Hey, well, what's these chains, man? What's this? Who are they? Wait a minute. What's going on here? Hey, man, hey, stop playing. Stop playing. Mama! I'm sure he must have gone into a full-blown panic, because he comes out of the pit only to see that the scenario has been changed based on his perspectives. He is now headed to be a prisoner in someone's house to be a slave. He now has shackles on his hands. He was born a free man. He now has to learn about different gods that he has never worshipped before. He now has to learn a different language that he doesn't speak. He now has to wear clothes and garb that he's never had to wear before. And he's put in a situation where he is being forced to serve someone else's vision that he doesn't even understand. He's put in a position where he has to serve without question. He's put in a position where he's having to serve and put his dream on hold.
My God.
See, God will place you in Potiphar's house, and he will allow you to serve someone else's dream and someone else's vision to see if he can trust you with his. See, because if he can't trust you to stay out in the front and still greet people and say, hey, how you doing? Welcome to Destiny. So happy to see you, without you getting an attitude and saying, I want to be on the worship team. I'm going to say, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to be on the worship team. Can I be on the worship? No. Stay in the parking lot. Stay in the children's ministry. See, because some of us, only believe that God could use you if you're holding a microphone. Some of us are naive enough to truly believe that the only way that you could be used of God is if lights are pointed at you and cameras are recording you. But I'm here to tell a few people that if you stay faithful in the hidden season, if you stay faithful in the field, David. If you stay faithful in the field, Moses, God will light a bush on fire and make sure you know when you're supposed to go where he wants you to go next. God will call you out of the field and say, David, come into this house. We're anointing you with oil. But he has to know that you have a true servant's heart. Because if you don't, your season in Potiphar's house will be much longer than expected, because God has to remove that selfishness out of you, because selfishness cannot exist in the kingdom. Oh, it got real quiet in this sanctified Pentecostal church, but it's so true that God is building you for what he's calling you to do, and you cannot negate the process and say how long you want to do what. It is God's choice to put you where he wants you. I remember before I got to a church of 30,000 with Bishop T.D. Jakes, with hundreds of thousands of people watching online, being the e-church pastor, before I got to 30,000, I was at a church of 30 for a season because my marriage was bad and I needed work. So this couple that was amazing at doing it had a small church, and they started working on our marriage. And I was like, excuse me, sir. I'm anointed of the Lord. I'm called to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I come from the potter's house, when none other than Bishop T.D. Jakes is the senior pastor. I'm anointed and appointed, and I'm ready to be used in whatever way you would like, sir. I'm a preacher, so just let me know when you need me to do something for you. He said, I'm so happy that you shared that with me. And he takes me by the hand, and he takes me to the bathroom. And we go to the toilets in the bathroom at this small church that's about the size of this whole stage up here. And he's cleaning the bathroom with Comet and cleaning products and scrubbing stuff and toilet bowl brush wands. And so he hands me the toilet bowl brush wand. And I said, what is this? What is this? I'm called to preach. He said, well, this is going to be your microphone for a while. I said, why? He said, because when people come to church, they need a clean place to go to the restroom, and that's ministry too. I said, oh, he got a little testy test. He doing a little testy test. That's how. He doing a little test. All right, we cool. We do that. No problem. We good. I can do a little test. I'm cleaning up. I'm good. Yeah, I'm serving. A month passed. He comes to check the bathroom. I didn't clean it right one time. He gets down on his hands and knees. He cleans it again. He said, this is how I want it cleaned. So, okay, all right, cool. 6 months goes by. I'm still cleaning bathrooms. He didn't let me say a prayer. He didn't let me go out to evangelize. He didn't let me close a service in prayer. He didn't let me mime. He didn't let me talk. He said, be quiet, sit down, say nothing with your anointed self. Because sometimes, David, we'll send you back out to the field after you get anointed, to make sure that you have the character to withstand the calling that's upon your life. So I was being molded and I didn't like it. But then 6 months pass and I get promoted. I'm like, yes, come on, give me a mic. I got 5 sermons ready. Just let me know. I even got them in memory. I've been waiting so long to do this. Come on now, this church is just 30 people. Come on, man. You know y'all need me. Pride. Said, oh, yeah, come on with me. Takes me to the homeless shelter bus. Makes me clean feces out of the seats, because I needed to be humbled. And I needed to understand that this is about kingdom, and it's not about me building my individual castle. See, my God, castle builders use words like I, me, and my. Kingdom builders use words like we, our, and us. And God will not push you into purpose, not your spiritual purpose, until he knows that you are about the capital K kingdom and not the lowercase c castle. Jesus. I'm going to keep moving because I'm not getting any amens. I'm getting a lot of stares. So you'll be in Potiphar's house, and then to get out of Potiphar's house, you got to pass the integrity test. Because here comes Potiphar's wife. You know, Potiphar's wife is... This Miss Tatiana, she shut. Hey, JoJo. How you doing, JoJo? Ooh, you look so good when you be doing that. Ooh,
You got muscles. Look, you so strong. Stop it, JoJo. JoJo, do all the men look like you where you come from? My goodness. The Bible says she wore on him daily to sleep with her. But Joseph said, no, I can't touch my master's wife. Joseph said, no, how could I do such a thing against the Lord? And then when Joseph passes the integrity test, he gets promoted to my next P, which is prison. Wait a minute. Hold them up, swallow them up. Mr. Preacher, sir, think you got this wrong. Joseph passes the integrity test. He does the right thing, and something bad happens to him? Well, that is if you perceive what happened to him as bad. Because I thought you knew that following Christ would come with persecution. Jesus said, except you pick up your cross and deny yourself daily, you can have no part in me. So you forget that when Jesus, before he could fulfill his purpose, he had to endure persecution. People didn't like him. They were mad at him. They spat on him as he made his way to the cross. They talked crazy about him. They accused him of all types of crazy, outlandish things. So this is just a shadowing type of you stepping into your purpose, because when you get ready to step into purpose, pain always precedes purpose. My God, when a woman is in labor, she has to go through some pain before she can birth purpose. It doesn't just come with nothing. You've got to go through some persecution. So now Joseph is going through the worst persecution possible. And the worst persecution is when you've done no wrong and things are not going right. I want to speak to someone in this room that may have your seasons misunderstood. Some of you may feel as though that you're in a season where the enemy is getting the best of you. But the truth of the matter is, in every prison is something for you to do, because listen to this. Joseph was challenged to flow in his purpose while he was feeling pain. Because when he got into prison, he had to use his gift of discerning dreams, even though he knew he was going to be in prison for the rest of his life. So here's the attitude test. Are you going to give up on God and be mad at him because things aren't going the way that you want them to, and throw your hands up and be done with it? Are you going to trust that though he slays me, yet will I trust him? Are you going to really believe that Romans 8:28 is true, that all things work together for the good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose? Are you going to truly believe that the word of God is true? Or are you going to give up and give in because you're going through a little persecution and you're going through some pain and things are happening around you and you can't understand it? And why do bad things happen to good people? I don't understand. Because God is still getting you ready for the final product. And here it is. Joseph has to flow in his purpose, even though he's feeling pain. And they start talking about their dreams, and his purpose starts, spidey sense starts going off like ding, 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 something's up. And even though he was going through pain, he still flows in his gift while he's going through pain. My God. He still flows in his purpose, even though the pain is causing him to feel like he might have been left out and he may not get to where God is calling him to go. He may not get there. It may never happen, but he still flows no matter what. He doesn't care that the persecution is upon him. He still flows no matter what. The question is can you flow when you don't feel good? Can you flow when they forget about you? Can you flow when you think that no one is thinking about you? Can you flow when it seems like God hasn't spoken to you in a long time? Can you still flow? Can you still get to church and still lift your hands and say, yet will I worship? Can you still enter into his courts with praise? Can you still be excited about being a Christian and being saved and loving the Lord? Or do you throw in the towel and give up because you feel like God has forgotten about you? Can I tell you something? You are not alone. God is here with you. Though he's far away, Michael Jackson wants to preach. He is here to stay. No matter what prison you find yourself in, please trust and know
that God is there with you. No matter what situation you find yourself in, please trust and know that God is there. No matter what health crisis you might go through, please trust and know that God is still there. No matter what storm you find yourself in, please trust and know that Jesus is asleep in your boat and he has the ability to wake up and calm every storm. So now Joseph is in this perplexing situation where he has to flow in his gift despite how he feels. And he flows while he's in prison. Can I get someone on keys? And while he's in prison, he discerns two dreams of a butler and a baker. And he tells one that he's going to be summoned to the king in 3 days. He tells another that he's going to be beheaded in 3 days. I'm sure the guy that was beheaded in 3 days didn't like Joseph very much. But Joseph still flows in his purpose. Joseph still, here it is, you ready? Has a good attitude. Joseph still has a good attitude, even though he's going through persecution. Even though things are not going the way that he wanted it to, after he'd done right for so long, he still yet has his eyes set on God. And the Bible says that no matter what season Joseph found himself in, the Lord was with Joseph. So you got to understand that no matter what season you're in, the Lord is with you. The Lord is there with you, and he is faithful and just to bring you through every single season. So we've learned purpose. We were pushed into a pit. We crawled out of the pit into Potiphar's house where we learned how to serve. And we went through a season in prison because we understand that following Christ means that sometimes you're going to have to go through some persecution. And sometimes things aren't going to go exactly the way that you want it to. And sometimes the story isn't going to add up the way that you wrote it down. And sometimes things don't just happen the way that you wanted it to. It actually happens in his timing and the way that he wanted to. And then all of a sudden, Joseph is called to see Pharaoh because Joseph flowed in his gift and the right person took note of it and they carried it back to Pharaoh and the guy remembered Joseph. Oof. God will remember you. When you're faithful, God will remember you. When you do it the right way, God will remember you. And in due season, God will direct your path and purpose will unlock. Stand to your feet. Wow. Before this service, I could barely talk. Now I feel like I can preach until tomorrow. So I want you to come back tonight because I'm not out of message, but I'm out of time. Tonight I want to preach about David and Davina. Amen. My female David's in the room, hint, hint. Because God is doing something in this next generation that I believe that we all need to hear about. So make sure you come back tonight. Bring somebody with you. It's going to be awesome. But I want to speak to a few people in this room that's been frustrated with purpose. Okay? Y'all seen that emoticon where the hand is over the face? The frustration? That's what I see in my spirit when I'm looking at some of you guys. Frustration. Why is this happening this way? Why is this not moving fast enough? Why does it feel like I'm stuck in a pit situation? Why does it seem like I'm being forgot about in a season when I'm serving? Nobody's even acknowledging me. Nobody's said anything to me. What happened to my promotion? How did that guy come after me and get promoted before me? How did this? I don't understand. How come it seems like bad things are happening to me and I'm doing right? I'm paying my tithes. I'm showing up to church. I'm doing things the way that I should. I'm serving other people. I'm thinking about other people. I'm always about the capital K kingdom. I'm not selfish. I'm not doing things the way I should, and things are still happening in my life. Why do I have to go through persecution? I don't understand that. I don't understand. I don't understand. This is the thing I do understand. I came to tell everybody in this room that God sometimes brings detours to get you to your purpose. I remember going home from church one day, and my regular route was closed off, and the signs directed me to go somewhere else. and my GPS took me in a different way. And I'm telling y'all, it was a scary route they took me on my way home. I was going through some hard ghetto areas. The roads were rough. My tires, I was nervous for my wheels. I couldn't see the streets really well. Had to turn on my bright lights because the roads are much darker than what I ever expected them to be. And it was different and it was weird. And it took me 30 more minutes to get to my destination. But the most important thing happened. That is, I made it to my destination. Please understand that God has not forgotten about you. And no matter how long it takes, God is faithful. And it doesn't matter what season you might find yourself in. I don't care if you're just learning purpose. I don't care if you find yourself in the pit. I don't care if you're in Potiphar's house. I don't care if you're in prison. Please understand that purpose is on the end of that. And God wants to give birth to the purpose that lives inside of you all. If you're in this room today and you're frustrated with purpose, or you find yourself in one of these seasons and you know that God wants to speak something into your spirit. If you're here today, I want to invite our prayer leaders to come down front, because I believe there's a few people here that need just a little bit more encouragement. You need more than just a sermon. You need someone to come in agreement with you. You need someone to pray with you. You need someone to believe with you. You need someone to pray about your situation. If you're here today and you're in this room and you say, Pastor, one of those areas you hit, man, it really hit my spirit really hard. I want to come for prayer. I want to come down, or I just want to come and get into the presence of the Lord, because the best place that you can be when you're going through a storm is in the presence of the Lord. If you're in this room with every head up and every eye open, I want to invite you to this altar if you need to be here right now. Right now. Meet me at this altar if you know that God is doing something in your life. And you've been frustrated with purpose. You're going through pain and it's almost made you forget that God called you to purpose. You had a loss in your family and it almost took you all the way out. Come on. I know you're here. Joseph, are you here? Joseph, are you bitter and angry with people who pushed you in the pit? And you think that this was about them more than it was about you? I want to challenge you, Joseph. Forgive your brothers. What they meant was for your bad, but God meant it for your good. I want to challenge you to drop your anger, drop your frustration, drop your bitterness, because you're going to stay in the pit longer than you should. God can't let you go forward with that bitterness in your heart. You've got to get rid of that thing. You got to forgive your mother. You got to forgive your father. You got to forgive your brothers. You got to move forward. You got to do this thing the right way. You got to do it the righteous way. You got to do it the way God designed you to do it, because he's got a destiny with your name on it. And although you're going through a few detours, God still has a plan for your life. God still wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Pray. No walls you won't kick down.
Wow, Destiny, what a word this morning we received. Did that speak to you this morning? Raise your hand if that spoke to you. Say, that was spoke to me, Pastor. Yeah. I'm telling you, tonight's going to flow just with today as well. And before you leave, we're going to sing this chorus through one more time. Those who are praying around the altar, feel free to stay and pray as long as you want, okay? We're going to take up an offering for our speaker today, and we want to make sure we bless them. And so our section leaders and offering people are going to be passing the buckets here in just a quick second. I want you to give and bless Pastor Ontario. We want to bless our team this evening as well. And I need you to help us take care of this. I know you guys will. We want to be a blessing to them. We have a lot of resources poured into the day. We can only do this because you step up as you do every time and you make the need met, okay? And today I know you'll do this. God's going to use you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word spoken to us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of the messenger that you sent to us for this Sunday, this morning, and again tonight. And God, we want to be a blessing and plant great seed. He took a step of faith 6 months ago to go full-time and just to evangelize. He left a cushion job with a great mega church, but he stepped out in faith. And we want to be a blessing to him and help honor his faith today. And so, Father, right now we thank you. We bless this offering in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody give this morning as you pass the buckets. Amen. How many received that today? Do you receive that word spoken over your life? That's all right. Come into agreement with that. Say yes. Now let me remind you, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to just continue to build, okay? Today's like a launching pad. So I want you to come back this evening at 6. Listen, we only do like one Sunday night service a year, okay? So make it a priority. Be here at 6 o'clock tonight. Come, say, God, I want to launch into a new season in my life. God, I want you to do something great. I want you to allow faith. We're going to kick off with a bang tonight. You don't want to miss the opener. And then right into a time of extended worship with our guest worship team. And then Pastor Ontario is going to be bringing a word. And then immediately following that, we'll have the food trucks out there. Clark's Catering is going to have his new truck out there. We're going to have, I think El Taco is going to be out there. Yeah, Taco Sunday, right? Every day's Taco Sunday, right? We're going to have snow cones, some inflatables. It's going to be a great time this evening. Plan on being here. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you at 6 o'clock.